This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about Oklahoma City.
We are taping this episode... Well, we're taping this episode when we're taping it. In Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, my hometown, we are sitting in the Airbnb. This Airbnb has two bedrooms, and so Matthew and I are sharing one, and producer Abby's in the other. And Matthew and I are sitting on our bed right now.
Yes, this we've done this before. We taped live in bed in Tokyo also.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was your bedroom. Now it's our bedroom.
That's
so
true.
All the listeners who've always wondered if we're married, we're still not married. But we're sharing a bed.
I thought there was going to be a surprise announcement that we were.
No. Anyway, hey, so Matthew, we did it. We're here.
Yes. Why did we do it?
Well, so producer Abby has been with the show now, I think, for 5 years almost. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years into it, I think we sort of... Into her tenure. We sort of half-jokingly decided that we should, you know, as a team... Because I feel like you and I...
are not much of a team.
We're not much of a team.
we're constantly at each other's throats. We stab each other in the back.
We decided that we should go on a retreat. And so our first retreat, our first corporate retreat...
Right. We had many non-corporate retreats before that.
We found an Airbnb that was a one-room guest house in someone's backyard on Bainbridge Island.
Right, which we chose because we were like, producer Abby, find us some Airbnbs to choose from. And producer Abby sent us a list, and we picked the one that was basically just basically a closet with a hot tub.
And then, as Abby has pointed out to us, we spent all of 20 minutes in the hot tub, and the rest of the time, we were all three of us together in this one room. We all slept in the one room.
Yeah.
There was a sink in the one room. It was a simpler time. It was beautiful, though.
Also, while we were in the hot tub, a skunk sprayed nearby.
Then we went on a one-night retreat to Vancouver. We stayed in a place, and we did things. And so this year, we thought... let's really do this. Like, let's really go somewhere together.
Yes.
And Matthew suggested Oklahoma City, which is my hometown.
I don't think you need to explain to people why it's obvious that Oklahoma City is the number one retreat destination.
At first, I kind of didn't. I was in disbelief. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, yes, that could be so great.
I think you did agree to it in like 45 seconds.
Well, I think I agreed immediately because it seemed funny. And I was yes-anding you.
Okay, that's true.
But then I had some doubts, and then I came back around. And here we are. It's been like 3 months, I think, since we booked it. The whole time we've all been daydreaming of what it would be like here.
I know. Yeah, I know I have. I've been night dreaming about it.
Too. And anyway, so here we are.
Yes, and I love it here.
Matthew loves it. Matthew wants to move here.
So, I mean, there are lots of things about it that I don't like, but they're all exactly the things that I expected not to like, so they kind of don't even register.
Well, and some of them aren't even present right now. Like, you don't like the idea of the hot summers here.
Don't like that idea at all.
You don't like the idea of the tornado season.
Nope, don't like it. Producer Abby, however, loves the idea of the tornado season because she loves the movie Twister.
And I should say that this is my first time being back in Oklahoma City in the like 3.5 years since my mother moved from here to Seattle. And so I have a cousin who still lives here, but otherwise I don't have any parents here. I don't have, you know, my immediate like nuclear family.
Sure.
And this is my first time being here without that. And I feel not only because I'm not staying in my house, but also just in general, I feel this sense of like getting to see it anew, Matthew.
Oh, I can tell. Molly is, I've almost never seen Molly more animated.
I have been like really happy to be here.
Right. So here's what it's like is Molly took us, she's taken us to a bunch of neighborhoods that were like, you know, she used to live or her friends used to live and has been taking us around and pointing like, you know, there's like Francis Cromwell's house and there's like Shaggy Dubois' house. And like, you can tell that she understands that there's no possible way we could actually find this interesting, and yet,
well,
like the
I keep
enthusiasm
apologizing
is,
to you
is
guys.
Also genuine.
Well, and I absolutely love that you're like willing to come along and do this with me. So even, you know, during the times when like when Brandon would come with me to Oklahoma or previous boyfriends or whatever, I think somehow the fact that my parents were still here, or at least my mother was still here, I felt somehow tied to this place, and it kept me from seeing it like in sort of an unbiased light. I think I felt both that I couldn't openly criticize it the way that we can all criticize our hometowns.
Sure.
I felt that I couldn't openly do that because this was still my mother's home.
Would you say for a small woman, she casts a long shadow?
And yet I also felt that I couldn't really like it because I always felt like I had to apologize for it. And I know that's like really snobby, but I think when you're from a place that like nobody comes to visit ever, it's a very strange thing to then like introduce people to it if those people are not you and Abby.
Oh, so we're the
you
best people to...
You guys are the ideal people to bring to my hometown.
So
I feel like your open-hearted enthusiasm for like coming here has allowed me to this is Molly's therapy hour.
Well, I think
I feel that I have developed like this new appreciation for where I came from.
I think open-hearted enthusiasm is a real Oklahoman trait, it seems like.
It's true.
Like,
Matthew
someone
keeps
called
getting
me
called
sweetheart. Yeah. By one person, but several times by the same person.
Yeah. Anyway, so Matthew, what have we learned?
Oh, I've learned a lot about myself, and I'm not being facetious. Like, I've really like confirmed for myself that I love vacationing somewhere boring.
And
so I have like free license to criticize Oklahoma City? Because I'm also going to say lots and lots of things that I like about it.
I feel like it is unrealistic to visit any city and not have some criticisms about it. So so go on.
So here are the advantages of visiting somewhere boring and like, or with a boring reputation.
Okay.
First of all, it makes people laugh when you say you're going there and they say why. And I love that.
Yes. Brandon has never gotten over the fact that we scheduled this trip. He laughed in my face when I told him. However, some other people close to me, like Ash, totally understood why. Take
sure.
that, Brandon.
So my own expectations are low, so it's easy to meet or exceed them. Mm-hmm. And like when you vacation somewhere where there's lots of stuff you have to do, then you have to fucking do that stuff. I don't want to do stuff on my vacation. I want to not do stuff. And we've been not doing a lot of stuff.
Although we have covered so much ground in this city.
Well,
we've
covered so much ground,
over.
But it's all like tour of Shaggy Dubois' neighborhoods.
Who is Shaggy Dubois? And why do you keep saying their name?
I don't know. You've said 185 names in the last couple of days. And I think if you search your heart, you'll know that that's one of them.
Let's talk about some of the places that we've gone to.
Okay.
So we have gone down. So we hashtagged this story, Memory Lane, literally. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, we have gone to all my memory lanes. really.
Yes. You may have heard us mention
this sounds
a place.
Like a new bowling alley, Memory Lanes. Memory Lane. There must be one somewhere,
oh,
right?
Oh, wow. Where each lane has a different theme.
Yes.
And it's like something from your life.
Yeah. So the neighborhood that
it's like if you're a rich eccentric and you build your own bowling alley, which I would.
If you were a rich eccentric. Well, rich you are eccentric, but you're not rich.
I'm halfway there, right.
Oh, great. Okay, great. So.
Whoa, we're halfway there.
So Oklahoma City is such a strange town. This town is like, well, this state is like not the South. It's not the Midwest, but it's both of them. Mm-hmm. And this town has grown tremendously in the 21 years that I haven't lived here. It's like a different place. But furthermore, it's like, it's this weird place that I think sort of the way that, that I think Seattle and Portland have this rivalry. Yes. Surely I'm not the first person to observe
okay,
this.
Okay, wait. So let me see Oklahoma City's rival is.
Go for it.
I'm going to say Tulsa.
No, okay. Dallas. Oklahoma City, I think, desperately wants to be Dallas.
Oh, I think it's not.
It's not. No, it's not.
I haven't been to Dallas.
It's
I don't
not,
know.
But they share a lot of traits in terms of like culture and aspects of the city, weather, et cetera. But anyway, growing up, you know, Oklahoma City is this weird place that has like vast open spaces of nothingness.
Including like right in town.
Right
like,
in town.
You will like walk past like a block full of hip shops, and then on the next block, a tumbleweed will roll by.
An actual tumbleweed. And then there are like these pockets of tremendous wealth, most of which has come from like oil and natural gas.
Okay, we need to get to
and
that
they're
quick.
Crazy, crazy, crazy mansions that don't even know they're mansions because they're so ordinary here.
Right. So
it's very strange.
Yeah. So can we talk about Nichols Hills?
Let's talk about Nichols Hills.
To Nichols Hills.
So I grew up in this part of town called The Village, which is just like a nice normal part of town. It's in Northwest Oklahoma City. Okay. The Village borders this like crazy nice area called Nichols Hills. And when I was 14, my parents bought like my mother's dream house in Nichols Hills and we moved there. And Nichols Hills is insane.
It's so crazy. Because you've mentioned Nichols Hills many times, and like I joke about the name Nichols, like the streets are paved with nickels. But every time, like what I've always pictured was like, you know, a wealthy neighborhood of Portland, Oregon, which is basically just sort of like arbitrary real estate designation. Like, you know, the houses are a little bigger and the lawns are a little more manicured. And
wait,
like,
really? I mean, Seattle has these very wealthy neighborhoods with like large lots and sprawling houses, but nothing like Nichols Hills.
Right. So
Nichols Hills is like ostentatious to the max.
Everything there is an estate. And these houses are 12,000 square feet, 13,000 square feet. Do I hear 14,000? I am auctioning off houses in Nichols Hills. They're really nice. Like, the other thing is I was assuming that they would be, like, the worst kind of, like, overgrown, steroidal McMansion. But they're actually, as far as McMansions go, really tasteful.
And it's interesting visiting it now. Like, I grew up as a kid, like, learning to ride my bike around these mm-hmm. neighborhoods. The street we lived on in The Village was, like, one or two blocks off of Nichols Hills. And the streets are really quiet in Nichols Hills. And you're not allowed to park cars on the street there overnight in Nichols Hills.
Of course not.
And so, like, there isn't a lot on the street. The streets are wide and they are flat. And so I rode my bike all over there as a kid. So, you know, my dad was a doctor. And obviously, he had the money to purchase a home in this neighborhood. But oh my gosh, our house, which was huge by Seattle standards.
Yeah, you had a Nichols Hills shack.
We had a shack in Nichols Hills compared to the rest of these.
Yeah.
And all of that, I feel a need to just over and over say that I know that a shack in Nichols Hills is still a really nice place.
Oh, yeah. I have very mixed feelings about Nichols Hills
because
on the one hand, like, it was so much more impressive than I expected. And,
well, and
like,
it's so fun to drive around it and be like, are you kidding?
Like, should we?
You thought you needed six chimneys?
Should we like claim it and redistribute all the wealth?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's what is next on our agenda after we finish taping this episode.
Yes.
Producer Abby, have you like rounded up some troops? Like, what do we need to like retake Nichols Hills? Like a cadre or like a comrades? We need comrades.
Well, we need some boomers We need some Sooners.
Yes, we need a land run. Okay, we're going to talk about this land run thing also, right?
Matthew, how long is this episode going to be? We've got to move it along.
Okay, but it's the land run is directly related to one of the things that we have to talk about.
So we did a walking tour of Nichols Hills. We went and saw my childhood home and then my teenage home.
We saw Jennifer's house.
We saw Jennifer's house. We saw the Fretwell's house.
The Fretwell's house.
Yes, we went to the Fretwell's house.
You could smell the soup.
Anyway, then we drove through Cassidy Square, which is, you know, they've made it pretty upscale now. They've put out like these black awnings. Oklahoma City's really into awnings. Did you notice that? A lot of awnings on houses.
I got to tell you, I did not notice the awnings.
You didn't? Anyway, Cassidy Square.
Well, here's what I think. I think like for there to be like enough awnings for me to notice, wow, there's a lot of awnings. Like
there gotta be so many, like 18 awnings stacked on top of each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wanted to drive you guys through like the super snooty prep school that I went to for high school.
Don't get me started.
Cassidy School. Anyway, they've now added this like gated entry with like a security entry and like a, you know, a little like an arm that has to lift up to let you back out.
Yeah.
So I'm not even welcome.
It probably
there
had
now.
Those like tire puncturing things.
Then can we talk about Mediterranean Imports?
Yes, please.
So Mediterranean Imports, it's a shop and a cafe. I was super excited to take Matthew and Abby because the man who owns it, I believe his name is pronounced Atif. He's always there. And he and my dad were kind of buddy-buddy, you know, in the way that one gets buddy-buddy with one's like a purveyor of good feta cheese.
I'm friends with all my
olives.
Purveyors.
I went in there and he immediately recognized me, which like almost brought tears to my eyes. He was so excited to meet you guys.
Oh, yes.
And we shot the breeze about my dad and my mom. And then we ate delicious, delicious food. I had the vegetarian platter. It's my favorite. I think that, I don't know, there's something very different about being here. I'm still trying to work this out, like being here with you guys as opposed to being here with my mom. Like I would go to the Mediterranean, you know, Mediterranean deli all the time with my mom, but somehow like it always felt sad or like my dumb hometown. Like I was a bad person and now I'm a better person and I've seen the light.
You can tell when someone is a good person because they're always talking about how they're a good person.
About what a good person. No, but I felt so different. I felt such like unabashed joy to be there.
Sure.
And like what a good hometown I had.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I kind of fled for my life because I felt like there wasn't space for me here. Like
well, also
I felt
because
too weird
you fled
to
from
be
that
here,
mob that was coming to burn down Nichols Hills and redistribute the wealth.
Yeah.
Oh, so Crescent Market, which we've talked about on the show, which was a market that had a suit of armor and carpeting,
it's
is
now
no
a
long,
Trader Joe's.
No longer. It's now a Trader Joe's.
Has there ever been like a sadder sign of globalization than Crescent Market?
There's been sadder.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So last night we got on the Northwest Expressway. Is that right?
You just say Northwest Expressway. You don't need the article.
We got on Northwest Expressway.
There you go.
And we headed out of town in the northwesterly direction, and we were heading toward a town called Okarchee, which is famous for fried chicken.
At a bar called Eichen's, which prides itself on being the oldest bar in Oklahoma, founded in 1896.
On the way,
Oklahoma was a state.
On the way, we were listening to this episode of 99% Invisible podcast about the founding of Oklahoma City, which we'll link to in the show notes. And it talked a lot about the Oklahoma land rush, about how like at a particular time, on a particular day.
Had you never heard of it before?
Vaguely.
Really?
I'd heard the term.
Producer
I didn't know
Abby,
what it was.
Producer Abby knew all about it.
Right.
She's superior to both of us.
So the idea is like at a particular time, like, you know, white settlers were allowed to like rush in and just claim whatever they could in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
from
Indian territory.
And that's how Oklahoma City, as we now know it, came to be. Then we get to Eichen's Bar, which is a very large restaurant in Okarchee, Oklahoma. We go in and it's packed with everyone eating fried chicken. And we're like, okay, can we like get on the list? Like, where do we line up for seating? They're like, no, the system is just you like walk around the restaurant hovering over tables that look like they might be leaving.
This is exactly what they said.
It is the land rush system of restaurant
seating. It's pure
eating.
Anarchy.
It made me so anxious. I was like,
yeah, Matthew was really stressed out. I was having the time of my life. They were playing like Summer of 69 and I was so happy.
The music was good. This is my personal hell. Like, I'm going to have a nightmare where, like, I'm in that restaurant and, like, I keep, like, walking around trying to find a table and people keep swooping in and taking the table and I'm getting hungrier and hungrier and I'm never going to get to sit down and eat a chicken.
Gosh, no, I was really happy. Well, because we weren't even that hungry. What were you stressed out about?
Just in principle. Just and we got Frito pie. That was really good, too. The fried chicken was very tasty.
It was all very good. This episode is brought to you by Poshmark.
And Poshmark is a place where you can buy and sell name brand fashions online.
You know, I learned about Poshmark through some friends. I have some friends who have amazing style. I mean, much better than my style.
Oh, come which on. Is, Don't sell yourself short.
Oh, come on, Matthew. Anyway, you're making me blush. But anyway, I saw these friends selling clothes on Poshmark. They were mentioning it online. And I was like, cool, what's this thing? Matthew,
yeah, so
what's this
I went
thing?
On Poshmark. So Poshmark is a place where if there's a designer or a brand that you like and you want to get it at a much lower price than you would in the store, you go to Poshmark and you buy it gently used. And if you're doing a closet clean out and you want to sell off some of your name brand stuff, you go to Poshmark, you list it, someone buys it, you ship it out, you make some money.
Everybody's KonMari-ing these days. You could KonMari
exactly
and
it.
Put your stuff on Poshmark.
Indeed. It will spark joy in someone else. Like, right now I'm wearing a J. Crew Oxford shirt and some J. Crew corduroy pants. And I looked on Poshmark and all kinds of stuff that I have paid full price for from J. Crew, I could have gotten for less on Poshmark.
And I understand that our Spilled Milk listeners can get $5 off their first purchase by using the invite code SPILLEDMILK5 when they sign up for Poshmark.
That's the Poshmark app and use code SPILLEDMILK5. This episode is brought to you by Postmates.
Matthew, do you know anyone who, like, let's say if you texted them at, I don't know, like 4 p.m. or 11 p.m., they'd bring you like ice cream or a bottle of red wine or whatever you want? Do you have any friends like that?
I don't know. Would you do that for me? I don't think so.
No. It's a good thing, then, that there is Postmates. I think, you know, our listeners have probably heard of Postmates.
Oh, sure.
Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever you can think of delivery service.
Yeah, they deliver 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, whatever kind of stuff you need, whether it's from the store or from a restaurant. If you can think it, they will deliver it.
My partner, Ash, is a giant ice cream fan. And occasionally after dinner, she'll open up the freezer and, like, it will have been a really long day. She needs her ice cream. We won't have any ice cream. We have used Postmates so many times to get ice cream delivered at like 10 p.m. on a Thursday.
That is amazing. I haven't even tried the ice cream feature yet.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Okay, so for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. $100.
This is like the best offer we've ever had.
I think it is.
Wow. To start your free deliveries, download the app right now and use the code SPILLEDMILK, all one word.
That's the code SPILLEDMILK for, did we mention, $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days.
That was the most annoying sound I've ever made. Matthew, can we tell them about what we've been doing at night? Here?
No, we can't talk about what we do in the
right.
shadows.
We already told them that we've been sharing a bed.
Yeah, and like I'm not a great sleeper anyway, but I keep worrying that I'm going to like kick Molly in the night or like roll over.
I think last night I think I touched your arm just a little bit by accident, and that's all that's happened so far. I touched it, like grazed it with my pinky.
But there's one more night. So we've been watching, we've watched one so far, but we're really into 90s erotic thrillers, as you know.
The first night we were here, we watched Fatal Attraction.
Which I had never seen.
None of us had ever seen it before.
It's a bad movie, but it's also pretty good.
I'm still puzzling over Michael Douglas as a sex object. Like, he resists sex. Objectification for me.
Well, he's just like in every movie that I've seen with Michael Douglas, he's such an asshole.
Yeah. And he totally got away with it in this. I mean, not to
really
spoil
did.
This. I mean,
a spoiler alert for Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
The bunny gets boiled.
Oh. Anyway, so tonight we're going to watch Basic Instinct.
I'm very excited.
I'm excited.
I have seen it before, but a long time ago.
Anyway, so today we got up and we walked around the neighborhood near where we are. We're staying in the Paseo District or the Uptown 23rd District.
Highly recommend it.
It's great. Well, it's highly gentrified in the time since I lived here. It's very different from how it used to be. However, there are some great businesses that I'm enjoying being a patron at.
And you can see a list of them on Molly's website, greatbusinessesimenjoying. com on Squarespace.
Anyway, my like high school best friend Billy, he used to live near here in this area called Heritage Hills, which is now like a, it's like an older Nichols Hills, actually.
Yeah.
It's right next to Mesta Park, though, which I think Matthew, Abby, and I have all agreed that if we were going to move to Oklahoma City, I think we'd like to live in Mesta Park.
I would like to live in Paseo.
Okay, I'm planning to continue staying
in this house after you and Abby go home.
Perfect. Okay. Anyway,
I'm going to replace you with my family.
We went and found Billy Hightower's house from when we were in high
school. We will post a link to Billy Hightower's house on Google Maps.
No, we won't. His family doesn't live there anymore.
Oh,
but weirdly, like a lot of kids I went to high school with, like now live there.
They all are sharing Billy Hightower's house.
No,
times are
all
tough.
They all live on his old street.
Do they start like a free love colony in Billy Hightower's old house?
Anyway, we also drove to Automobile Alley today, where we
I
went,
forgot that's what it was called.
We went to a great coffee shop called Coffee Slingers. Mm-hmm. I felt like it had a kind of like really great like queer vibe going on in there,
yeah,
which I really enjoyed. Then we walked to Bricktown. I fail to understand Bricktown.
Okay, yeah,
I feel like it's not for me.
You want to turn this over to me to be the critic?
Yes, please.
Okay,
because like I can't do it.
I've been to this kind of place in other cities where it's like, you know, it's like an old part of town with bricks, and we revitalized it, and it's always like that is you put those things together, and you just make like a boring milkshake. We haven't actually talked about Borgs yet.
So here's the deal with Borgs. So, you know, it's always had like framed photos of banana splits and stuff on the wall. Mm-hmm. And it's always
lavishly framed.
It's always been laid out the way it is now. It's Brahms Ice Cream
Boudoir
and Dairy Store.
Boudoir photos of banana splits.
It's Brahms Ice Cream and Dairy Store. So you walk in and it's got like an ice cream counter. They also have burgers and fries. There's like a seating area with like plastic seating and it's like padded plastic seating. And then off to the side, there's like a little convenience store where you can buy like dairy products and some fruit and stuff. You know, it seems shinier than it used to. And like,
I thought it was great.
I think it's still about the same as it used to be. And my milkshake tasted exactly the way it always has.
Yeah, it was really good. And the prices, like by Seattle standards, the prices are outrageously low.
And the milkshake advertised that it had 24 grams of protein,
yes,
which is
really
what I'm always looking for in a milkshake.
Like whatever the next thing is that people are trying to get more of in their diet, they're going to change the cups. And like, you know, it's got like
antioxidants.
Yeah. And phytoplankton.
Hagfish slime.
Hagfish slime is going to be the next thing. It's in there.
Anyway.
Oh,
yeah,
so
Borgs everything you dreamed it would be?
It was everything I dreamed.
Was it too shiny? Was it too like fast food establishment-y?
First of all, I like fast food establishments, and no, it was perfect.
Okay.
So to illustrate the prices, we ordered the junior sized milkshake, which was $1.79.
Yeah. I think the junior milkshake was easily probably 12 ounces, do you think?
Yeah. So I want to move here now.
Okay.
Like you can get a 2-bedroom apartment for like $750. Mm-hmm. As long as I can bring the Seattle weather with me.
You made me and Abby watch a clip yesterday from a John Stamos movie.
We're going to post a link to this also.
I don't know what the movie was. What's it called?
Never Too Young to Die.
Never Too Young to Die. And it's a clip in which John Stamos, young John Stamos, is trying to resist.
Back then he went by the name Young John Stamos.
He's trying to resist the allure of this woman who is basically posing like relentlessly for him, and
she
then even
is relentlessly posing.
Takes off her top.
That's actually how
and...
when I have unhinged sex now, it's just a lot of relentless posing. no one even like actually touches each other. It's just like we pose with such fierceness,
like voguing,
like erotic heat waves rising
off your erogenous
off of all of our most erogenous zones.
Wait, do you have less erogenous zones and erogenous zones?
I think we all do, right?
I guess.
Like,
so.
I guess a, like,
Matthew,
medium
zones.
What are
some of your favorite erogenous zones?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable talking about my side of this.
So
I'll tell you after the show.
Okay, cool. Hey, so anyway, Basic Instinct is
We're gonna
coming
watch
up
it tonight.
Yep.
Very excited.
Listeners, would you weigh in with your favorite 1980s erotic thriller?
Yeah, do that.
Or 1990s. I don't really know when all these things came out.
I know we asked you the same question like 3 weeks ago, but tell us again. Maybe some new ones came out. Some new 90s erotic thrillers came out since then.
Matthew, can we talk a little bit about the food in Oklahoma City? I think that listeners like it when we talk about food sometimes.
If we must. Okay. I mean, we talked about Okarchi Fried Chicken at Aishin's Bar.
Yeah. Hey, what about the tea place, though? People should know about this tea place, Matthew.
Okay. Right across the street from our apartment is a place called Urban Tea House. And it is an excellent tea cafe. They have several kinds of Japanese tea. They make them really well. Like, the people there don't seem to mind when I want to talk to them about Japanese tea. And God, I love this place. I've gone there 3 times so far, and I will be going again tomorrow. Yeah, my favorite tea place in Seattle closed, and there's a place just as good here in Oklahoma City. Like, okay, so here's the thing. I would move to Oklahoma City because, like, I don't usually leave my neighborhood. Like, and they've got everything I need right here in whatever this neighborhood is called. I already forgot.
You even rode a scooter to the Chinese supermarket.
I rode a scooter to the Chinese supermarket. I looked like the biggest dork, but I got there and I didn't fall off the scooter, so I guess that would have been dorkier. Thumbs up, Molly. Good work.
Thank you. I feel like a new person. I've really enjoyed this trip.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you for suggesting it.
And thank you to producer Abby for making this episode worth listening to.
Yeah. And thank you to producer Abby for so gamely coming along with you and me on this, what could have been a true fool's errand.
It could have been a fool's errand. Next time, we should go to Claremont, California.
Yes. Can we go on one of your memory lanes now, or producer Abby's memory lane?
Oh, we could also, next time we're going to Budapest.
Matthew, no.
I didn't mean to.
No. Next absolutely time, not.
We're not going to Budapest, or don't say Budapest.
Don't say that ever again. I would gladly go to Budapest, though.
Okay. Yeah. We should go to Claremont, California. It's where I went to college. I have very mixed memories of it. Anyway.
Can we go to the record store that you based the record store in Our Secret Better Lives on?
Yeah, I think it's still there. Yes, we could go to Claremont. We could go to Rhino Records. We could hang out in the Village. We can go to the bagel store that I used to go to in college. We can walk past my dorm. We can walk past the music building where I used to practice with my band.
Can you hook us up with a sweet Airbnb?
I'm sure we can find a sweet Airbnb in Claremont, California.
Okay.
Yes.
I also would like to take this moment to say, when is this episode going to air?
It's going to be like February 14th. Maybe this might be Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, definitely tell us about your erogenous zones.
No, it's January 31st. No, that's not right. February 14th. Okay. The date on the agenda
all
was
right,
wrong.
You lovers, so, tell us about your
all
erogenous
you lovers
zones.
Out there, like, rubbing your erogenous zones together and making a fire. You're not listening to a podcast.
Yeah, watch an erotic thrill.
Go on an erotic thrill ride with your lover.
Watch an erotic thriller tonight.
Yeah. I'm sure all the ones we're watching
but
will really get you
fatal
in the mood.
Attraction,
Yeah, Fatal Attraction. Like, pause
it.
I
think I would like break a chip a tooth or something if I tried to recreate.
Use it as a guide for what not to do.
Yeah,
basically, yeah. Like,
don't do any.
Don't
of
do
it.
Anything
don't
they
do
did.
Any.
Don't do it in an elevator. Don't do it on a kitchen counter where they kept accidentally turning the water on.
And for gosh sakes, if someone is trying to stab you with a knife and you get the knife out of their hands, don't then just
don't
put
just,
the knife
yeah,
back down
exactly.
on the counter right next to them.
These are Molly's best sex tips.
All right, lovers. Thanks for joining us here in Oklahoma City. And wow, thanks to Matthew and producer Abby for taking this walk down memory lane with me. It's been 9 years now that we've been doing this show.
That is a long walk down memory lane. Mm-hmm. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where apparently Molly wants to hear about your erogenous zones. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Okay. I sound like a DJ scratching.
Yeah, you do. Wow, we've really gone off the deep end.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Did you just hear me burp in the microphone?
Yes.
No.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.